Hello and welcome to the Crystal and Stone Podcast,
where we discuss all things crystals and...
We're your hosts. I'm Dylan.
And I'm Jess.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first ever Crystal and Stone Podcast. We are so excited to finally have you here. It's been what, Jess?
Not since the most previous lockdown, but the lockdown before that. I think just after my birthday. And my birthday's in April. And we're currently at the end of July.
When we first had the idea to come up with the podcast and we got all the stuff. And now we finally have it. So it's been a long time coming, but yes. Here we are.
Here we are. Fingers crossed technology works. Fingers crossed we're all good. Good vibes, people.
Excellent. All right. Well, on today's episode, we are going to be talking about beginning your crystal collection, just starting off. And I know a lot of people have a lot of questions about how do you start? Where do you start?
And I feel like this is appropriate. It's our first episode of the podcast. It's the beginning. Beginner crystals, you know.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It all works out.
Well, I know, like, for me personally, like, opening up a crystal shop, I had a long time of experience with crystals, but only on kind of like my personal collection. It started with just a single piece of lapis lazuli, and I just fell in love with it. I mean, it was my favorite stone. I had it forever. And
you have that beautiful piece from Botanical H2O. Shout out, girl.
Yes. Beautiful, beautiful, necklace. But yeah, I had that singular piece, and, I just kind of carried it with me wherever I went. And Jaden and I started going weekends. We just started going to crystal shops and, you know, slowly building a collection. And it was a lot of trial and error of like, ooh, how does this feel?
And, yeah. Well, and Jaden has a really beautiful collection that was gifted from his grandmother.
From his grandma, yeah.
Yes, grandmother.
So, I mean, Jaden already had kind of a one-up on me when it came to crystal collecting because he had been given this beautiful collection from his grandmother. Mm. But, yeah. How about you, Jess? How did you start with collecting crystals?
So, starting out as a little baby witch, you know, making potions in the garden with dirt and water because, thankfully, not drinking them. Oh, my goodness. Thankfully, not drinking
disease.
Them. Yes. I actually have an aunt who is not into giving gifts. She's more into giving experiences. So every birthday that would come around, she would find a day that she could take us, and by us I mean me on my birthday and then my siblings on their birthdays, out on outings. And mine usually involved going to like the Fremantle crystal store. I have definitely a couple of like amethyst crystal trees in my collection. A lot of aqua aura.
Yeah,
because
when you start off,
especially when you're a little kid, all the shiny rainbowy crystals are the ones that you love.
We're all like little magpies as kids. We go for the shiniest ones.
Yes, exactly. It's always magpie season when you're a kid in a crystal shop. So my collection started out with definitely some amethyst trees. Aqua aura was like my thing. I was obsessed with anything aqua aura. And I actually have a little selenite pillar as well from my childhood collection, and I got it because it reminded me of, and now I'm forgetting the planet's name, but Superman's planet.
Krypton.
Yes.
Yep.
It reminded me of Krypton, and I was hardcore into like Smallville as a kid because my dad was into Smallville. Yep. And I was like, yes, it's like Krypton, sick. So yeah, that's what my sort of beginning collection started off with. And then, thankfully, a local crystal store called Crystal and Stone opened up 7 minutes away from where I live. Very dangerous. And the rest is history. Oh.
Well, I know when I was starting off with crystals, I had a lot of questions. Mm. And I didn't know kind of where to go. And every time I kind of went into a crystal shop, it was really intimidating. Mm. It was like cramped and crowded and
dark,
very dark, always dark. Why is it always dark?
I don't know.
They want you to see the crystals
because then you can't see them. And I know, especially, there are days where I struggle at the till to figure out whatever crystal it is that someone's brought up to me. And we are like in a very bright store, so I can't imagine the struggles that other crystal stores must go through with the dim lighting.
Yeah. But yeah, and finding and identifying these different crystals and what would draw me in was always different. And I think that, you know, as we kind of learned and we grew and we kind of, my personal collection grew, like, I started being drawn to certain ones, like certain colors and certain vibes and things like that. Like, I'm pretty sure my entire collection when I started off was blue. Like, I had...
How fitting.
Yes. I had blue, like, lapis lazuli. I had aquamarine. I think, I explored a little bit into, like, malachite with the greens. Love malachite. But, yeah, I don't know. It's, like, starting off, I would always make the mistake of kind of just looking and taking advice that wasn't, like, warranted.
Mm.
Like, people would go in and tell me what I needed instead of me trusting my gut and being like, oh, you need this. And if, you know, I mean, which is fine if someone recommends something for you, but if it doesn't resonate with you, then it's probably not meant for you.
And I feel like that's the hardest thing with new, like, especially newbie customers, is when you, when they come in, they're like, I'm looking for something for X. And you're like, oh, okay, I'm about to recommend you a lot of different crystals because obviously I don't know you and I don't know your circumstances. But at the end of the day, don't feel like you need to pick every single one that I'm suggesting.
Yep.
Just pick the ones that, like, you vibe with. And the absolute terror of, like, what do you mean, the ones that I vibe with? I'm like, when you know, you know.
Well, I mean, like, in store, we thankfully have kind of, like, what's called, like, our I'm New Here starter kit.
Mm.
And it has a whole bunch of different crystals that are kind of generally more beginner-friendly, if you will. So you have things like amethyst, selenite, rose quartz.
Obsidian.
Obsidian, clear quartz. All of these are beautiful stones that are easy to work with and are great for beginners.
And accessible.
And accessible. But the thing is that really any stone can be your first one, as long as you know what you're looking for. And today we're going to talk a little bit more about what to kind of look for and also answer any questions that we have or some common questions that we've had in the store.
Yeah.
But yeah, so do you want to start off with some of the questions that we may have gotten?
Like these ones?
Yes. We put them in our beautiful rose quartz bowl.
For those who are watching, as opposed to... listening, yes, this rose quartz bowl is beautiful. Unfortunately, it's not for sale because we love it too much and it has to stay in the store, but it's beautiful. And for those who are listening, you'll need to jump on and watch purely just to see this rose quartz bowl because it is beautiful.
Do the honors, Jess.
Hello and welcome to my next lecture. All right. Oh, I love this question. Is it okay to mix my crystals?
Yes. However, always keeping in mind the intention behind the crystals. So, for example, I really love mixing all kinds of crystals. I'll put them all together. For example, right now I have Moonstone and K2. These are both really beautiful stones for meditation. They're really good for that feminine energy. Really good. I really love these stones together. However, the only time, and they kind of match that intention of like, what do I want to get out of them? Mm. However, the only time I wouldn't mix crystals is if they have really opposing intentions. So, for example, we have a crystal called lepidolite, which is really good for calm, serenity, and peace. I might not pair that with something like bumblebee jasper, which is all productivity, go, work hard, right? They're kind of opposing. So if you keep that in mind and you know the intention behind your crystals, you definitely can mix ones that are appropriate and kind of keep ones that aren't separate.
Yeah. I feel like we'll be saying this a lot, but at the end of the day, it's whatever feels good to you.
Yeah.
So if a combination isn't something that maybe we would typically recommend, but you're sitting with it and you're like, no, I like this, I'm into this, then it's going to work for you. It's just not going to work for us.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's your crystals. It's not ours.
True.
So.
All right. I will pick out my next one. All right. This is a great question and especially good for beginners. What is cleansing?
Oh, cleansing is such a loaded question because so many people have varying opinions about this, particularly when it comes to methods of cleansing. I would say first and foremost, I know a lot of people love to cleanse in water. I just would never. As just a starting rule, I would just never cleanse with water. A, there are some crystals out there that will dissolve in water, things like selenite.
Really anything that ends in an ite.
In an ite is never good for water, whether it's because it'll dissolve or because of its chemical makeup. Something like malachite, for instance, is toxic when it gets wet. As a rule, I would just never cleanse with water because you just never know what's going to be safe and what's going to dissolve. That's my first and foremost rule.
But from an energetic standpoint, what would you say cleansing is?
So, just like when you walk into a new house or you buy a new piece of furniture, obviously people have walked through the house, tried the furniture, you know, it becomes a bit stagnant. Cleansing with crystals is when you sort of cleanse that stagnant energy that's maybe built up, either because it's been in a store where other people have touched it, or because you've used the crystal a few times in a row that for the last couple of days and you've dealt with a lot of energies. It's just to freshen it up,
kind of reboost the energy.
Yeah, and I think especially it's important for those who are wearing or have their crystals on them that are dealing with a lot of energies. So people in retail, people in customer service,
yep,
et cetera, et cetera. I know that I cleanse whatever I wear that day, that night. So yep. Like my crystal bracelets or my crystal necklaces every night, regardless of, even if it's been a good day.
Yep. I think, depending on, like, what the crystal is and, like, how often you're using it is how often you should cleanse it. So Jess and I will talk about different cleansing methods, but when it comes down to it, if you're using a crystal daily, chances are you want to cleanse it after use. If you're not, you know, if you're keeping a crystal around your home, maybe, like, once a month, depending on how often you're in that room.
Which is probably where full moon cycles would come. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that then. So one, probably the most popular method of cleansing is putting your crystals in the full moon. Mm. By taking your crystals out into the moonlight, it kind of cleanses and recharges them and kind of empowers them back with the intention that they've been set with.
Mm. Particularly if you're like us hardcore witches who perform full moon ceremonies where you do sit with your crystals or you sit with, I don't know, a journal or some candles and stuff and set your intentions for that month. And then you're sort of not only are you cleansing your crystals, but you're sort of programming them to work with your intention for the next month, your goals.
For sure.
If you're a bit confused by the phrase intention, goals.
Yeah.
Goals.
Replace intention with goals.
With goals, yeah.
If you're like me, however, and a really lazy crystal owner.
I'm a lazy crystal owner too. I love that. I feel like the people who work in crystal stores are the laziest.
Yeah. If you're like us and more of a lazy crystal owner, another more convenient cleansing method is to use a different crystal called selenite. Selenite is wonderful because it is a self-cleansing, self-charging crystal that also cleanses and charges the other crystal. You okay?
Oh, I was just, if for those who are watching, the candle pillars up in this corner, that's selenite.
Yes, and selenite is good for cleansing and recharging other crystals that are near or around it. So I have a selenite bowl on my bedside table, and that's where I put my necklaces, my bracelets, or any crystals that I carry with me throughout the day. At night, I plug in my phone, I plug in my watch, and then I plug in my crystals, so to speak, to let them recharge and cleanse overnight.
And that's exactly what I do too, because I'm also far too lazy. Actually, no, I don't like the word lazy. Busy. We are far too busy.
It's an efficient method.
It's an efficient method. We're also far too busy here and just with life in general to keep track of the full moon. And to be perfectly honest, generally on a full moon, I am here because there is a full moon ceremony happening at the store that I need to be.
Fair. Very fair. I think also, like, the thing about full moons, although they're fantastic, is they're, one, time sensitive. Mm. So if I've had a really bad day and, like, the person, you know, I just had to deal with someone that was, like, really heavy on my energy, and I want to cleanse my crystals, and I'm not going to wait around for a full moon. Like, what if it's a new moon?
Yeah.
And then the other one is that it's weather sensitive. Like we were saying earlier, some crystals are you know, soluble in water. You know, you don't want to put them outside.
Yeah, so at the moment it's winter in Australia, and we're having a particularly wet winter in Perth, which is not normal. Global warming. So again, you just wouldn't want to put your crystals out in the rain just in case. A windowsill that catches the moonlight would be fine for those who are really keen for moon cleansing.
Yep.
That's totally fine. There are a few other ways to cleanse. Do we broach the subject of
I think
sage.
Sage. Yes, we'll talk about sage.
The S word.
Sage was, we used to sell sage in store, and using it as a smudging item where you burn it and you allow the smoke to drift over whatever you're cleansing is a popular practice. However, someone brought it to our attention that it is a closed practice reserved for the indigenous people of North America. And so we just decided to stop selling it. We thought, as you know, a store owned by two cisgendered gay white men, one from Canada and the other from Australia, that it's probably not the best to sell. However, if you would like to continue to sage, that is obviously you. Also, we've had a couple of different people come to us and say that burning of eucalyptus.
If you're from Australia,
is more respectful to the land, and especially if you're being, you know, respectful of the elders, on you know,
of the indigenous elders.
Yeah. Mm. But yeah, so that's cleansing.
Smoke cleansing is a little bit different
than smudging.
Smoke cleansing a little bit different. It's not a closed practice. So again, if you like the idea of having smoke involved in your cleansing practice, but don't want to be disrespectful, I would look into smoke cleansing.
Yeah. And that's something that can be done with incense or herbs that you grow in the garden yourself.
At the end of the day, like crystals, there are 1,000 different ways of being able to cleanse. We've only covered a few.
But find the one that works best for you.
Research, find the one that works best. Crystals often have different types of energies, and so the methods in which they get cleansed are slightly different. Like if you find crystals that have like storm energy, then a storm is when you would cleanse them.
I've even heard of people burying their crystals, returning it to the earth. However, I lose my phone on a daily basis. Like literally, I lose my coffee cup. It's an ongoing joke within the store that like, oh, here's Dylan's coffee cup. So I can
you
only
have
imagine
sort of like three kind of
always
spread
going
around the store.
That way I can always find it.
Yeah.
However, I can't imagine burying my crystals. I know I would lose them. So
I think if you had like a little pot though with like some soil, then you know it's in the pot somewhere.
Maybe I'll try that.
Maybe
I'll give that a shot.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we answer another one?
Yes. Yeah. This one. Does size matter?
Not in the crystal world. Just kidding. When it comes to crystals, I mean, size, we get this question a lot. I like to think of it, and this is just my interpretation. I like to think of it as something small, like a tumble or a worry stone or a small rough is great. Enough energy creates enough energy for your body, for you. However, if you're going with something a bit larger, like maybe a point or a pyramid, then it'll start to create enough energy for a space. Then you have something like a pillar or like a big geode or something like that. You're creating enough energy for a home or a building, you know, something like that. But again, when it comes down to it, if you're cleansing your crystals, if you are keeping them charged, and whatever intention goals you set for them, that's what you're going to get out of it. So if you are like, hey, I only have this small amethyst tumble, will it work for me? As long as you are working with it, it'll work for you.
Here amongst the crystal and stone staff, we are size queens. However, that does not make your crystal collection inferior to ours.
Definitely not.
Definitely not. Because again, it comes down to intention.
Intention. Goals.
Hashtag goals.
All right, shall I grab another one?
Yes.
All right. Is it okay to buy crystals for other people?
I love this.
Because I've heard a couple of things being like, no, you have to pick it out yourself.
Well, because that was kind of the law for like tarot as well. I remember first getting into tarot and someone telling me you can never buy your own deck. It always has to be gifted to you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, but, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But then I went to Courtney Seeking Wilder's, hey girl, tarot course. And yeah, again, like crystals, it doesn't matter. It's just all about intention. If you vibe with a deck, get it because it's obviously for you. 20 tarot decks later. yeah, this
I don't have a problem.
This is a really sweet question because it's always asked by customers who have like the best intentions for their friend or their relative or whomever. And they're always so concerned that they're going to be like tainting whatever they're purchasing as a gift, to a loved one. No, it doesn't matter if you're purchasing crystals for another person. I would say as long as your intention is positive.
Yep.
If your intention is negative, I would maybe rethink that.
Although generally if you're giving a gift, it's generally a positive.
I don't know, because you sometimes get those customers who come in and are like, I want something that's going to give the energy to my boss to, like, F off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. Yeah.
Maybe not.
Maybe we need to work on ourselves a little bit and wonder why we need to be validated by our boss.
Yeah.
So much.
But when it comes down to people who do come in and are, you know, seeking a crystal, maybe for, you know, a loved one who's going through a sickness or... or who's lost someone else, you know, it, or just someone's having a hard time and they need a confidence boost. Mm. I think that, you know, that intention is so pure and so wholesome and so kind that they're obviously guiding their actions in that way. And I think the perfect crystal will find them.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean, it doesn't, just because you buy them something and maybe they don't vibe with it, it doesn't mean that it's the wrong crystal. It just means it's not their time.
Yep.
I have several tumbles that I have had for ages, and then suddenly I'm just, I don't vibe with them. And then, you know, a couple of weeks later, it's like, oh, okay, yeah. No, yeah, it's time to use you. Yeah. So they get so concerned about picking, like, the wrong piece.
Yeah.
But no, like you said, if you're coming at it with a really, like, pure and lovely intention, at the end of the day, a gift is a gift. And like, and whether or not this person buys into crystals and their healing and whatnot, you thought about them.
And it's still it's a pretty rock.
It is a pretty rock. Yeah. It is a pretty rock.
All right.
Aesthetics.
Hit me up with the next question.
Hit me with your best shot. Ooh. This is a loaded one. What is your most powerful crystal?
Well... I bet you everyone here who's seen or has a TikTok account would probably say, oh, he's going to say Moldavite. Moldavite's your most powerful crystal. Lies. Lies and slander.
Liza Minnelli.
It is actually clear quartz. Mm. I would argue that clear quartz is our most powerful crystal because it is the master healer. You can set any intention into clear quartz and it will work for you. Unlike other crystals, which generally have a meaning or an intention that's assigned or associated with them, clear quartz can be anything.
It's versatile.
So whatever your intention is behind it, if you're meditating with it and you're saying like, oh, I really want this. This is the intention I want out of it. I want success, or I want to feel calm, or I want, you know, I don't know, hot girl summer.
hashtag
hot girl summer. Whatever your vibe is that you're wanting to get out of it, clear quartz will help you in that. So I would argue it's our most powerful. What do you think, Jess?
I would disagree, only because I have a piece of diamond quartz.
Oh, okay. Okay. I spoke too soon. Go ahead.
Yes, I have pieces of Moldavite. I have 3 pieces of Moldavite, and I gritted with them a couple of weekends ago, and the results were chaos.
Chaos.
Absolute chaos. Within that grid, I also had diamond quartz. Diamond quartz is clear quartz on crack.
Tell us a little bit more about diamond quartz.
So, what's the hardness scale called?
Mohs hardness scale.
Okay, so Mohs hardness scale is a scale that rates crystals on their hardness, how fragile they are. So you have something at like a clear quartz that sits at, I want to say, like a 5 or a 6.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
I think
she's asking me for facts. Sorry. I know.
You're the science teacher.
I know. I'm ill prepared.
I want to say it sits at like a 6 and a 7, and then you've got things like a selenite, which would sit at like a 3 or a 2 because it dissolves in water and it's very fragile and it sheds. And then you've got something like a diamond quartz, which is the closest to diamond that isn't actually diamond in terms of hardness. So it sits at about like an 8 or a 9. You might need to fact check me because I'm not a geologist.
Well, like comments on this will just be like actually. That's fine. We're down to
watch Kyle this and fact check me. That's fine. Kyle, you can fact check me anytime he wants.
So what would you use diamond quartz for instead of clear quartz?
So if I want whatever my intention is to be incredibly amplified, I would use diamond quartz.
Mm. Yep.
I don't typically wear diamond quartz because it's quite intense, because it is that higher vibration. It's it's just more intense than clear quartz. I grid with it. I use it passively. That's not to say that you couldn't wear it. It's just what works for me.
Yep. Again, what works for one person isn't going to work for others, and what you vibe with isn't going to work with others.
And if you're wondering, grid with it, what on earth is she talking about? That'll probably be another episode where we talk about gridding. But at its very basic definition, crystal gridding is a way of using several crystals with similar intentions to work at their maximum sort of ability, if you will.
Yeah.
But yes.
Beautiful. All right.
I think it's your turn.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because
I pulled Most Humans Powerful. Yeah.
All right. This was a really good one. We get this a ton. How do I know a crystal is right for me?
There are so many different answers for this. I think you should go first because you always have that... you always, in your beginner course, you always talk about picking crystals.
It's true. So I do run a beginner's course at the store called I'm New Here, and it's for beginners. When I pick out crystals, and everyone is different, but when I pick out crystals, I like to do a blind test, because 9 times out of 10, the first one I pick up from the pile is the one that I needed. Even if I go back and I'm like, maybe not, this one's not as pretty as I wanted, I'll end up going back to it because I'm like, oh yeah, this is the one. For other people, sometimes they feel, and for myself as well, sometimes you feel a vibration. Sometimes you feel heat.
Mm.
Sometimes you feel cool. Sometimes it's just a little voice in your head going, this is the one. But like,
this is the moment.
Yeah, pretty much. For Jess, it's, when, musicals.
Yeah. When music starts playing. Yes. And unfortunately that does sometimes mean that the uglier piece, is the piece for you. And in which case, if that makes you sad, you can do what I do, which is I have a piece that I work with. And then I have a piece that sits on my my mantle and looks
just
pretty.
Just for show.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously, it does depend a little bit on the price point. There are definitely times where I don't buy one to work with and then one to look pretty because of the price point. But, especially if it's tumbles, you have a piece that you work with and then you have a piece that you're like, oh, but this is the really pretty piece.
Yeah, there's a couple of moonstones that I have like that are just like, ooh, shiny. All right.
And again, if you've got multiple of the same crystal, you can grid with it.
Make a grid.
You can make a grid.
Which we'll talk about in another episode.
All the comments will be like, we want to know about crystal gridding. Crystal gridding. Jess, we want to hear about your 3 moldavite pieces.
No. Crystal grid. It was chaos.
Absolute utter chaos. I don't know why I had such difficulty reading this question. I've heard about man-made or man-influenced crystals. Do they still work?
So, this is a really great question because I have gotten a few videos or a few like responses saying, I think my crystal is fake. There are fake crystals out there. There are completely man-made crystals out there, like opalite, goldstone, colored obsidian.
I feel like we need to break fake into like 3 categories. Yeah. So you have fake, which are imitation crystals. So people who sell certain crystals claiming that they're real.
Yep.
So I don't know, fake amethyst, fake whatever. Then you've got man-made, which is
like your opalites, your goldstones,
like the obsidians that aren't black, essentially. Yeah. And then you have like man-influenced, which would be like heat-treated citrine, which is the most popular citrine on the market because it's so like vibrant and beautiful. But unfortunately, the process in getting that color involved work in a lab.
Yeah. Or things like aura. Anything that has aura written in it has been given a titanium coating, which gives it that vibrant rainbow color. Does it mean that it's not going to work? No, not at all. Again, whatever intention that you set it in, the energy that you're putting into a crystal is the energy that you're getting out. Now, some people are like, I want to say like, just only drawn to natural crystal, like 100% naturals, and that's fine. But if you are finding that you are drawn to something like an aura or a goldstone, even opalite, go for it. Mm. You're going to, if you feel that energy is going to bring you joy or bring you that energy, go for it.
I find a lot of beginners love the auras or the gold or the goldstones, which again is totally fine. Absolutely no judgment. We were all into that in the beginnings of our crystal journeys.
Yeah.
I mean, aura,
like Jess said,
Aqua Aura was like my favorite as a kid, and that is against a sprayed crystal that's not naturally coming out of the ground like that.
And like we said, it's not going to diminish the energy that you've put into it, and it's not going to diminish the energy out.
No. And for those who are shopping around, quality crystal stores, ethical crystal stores, will let you know what is man-made, what is man-influenced, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Like, it's not something we hide.
No.
It's not something anyone would hide.
No, why would we?
It's generally, like, if you look at something and you say, is this man-influenced or man-made, a crystal shop owner would definitely tell you.
Let you know.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Not to say that there aren't vibrant crystals that are naturally occurring. I mean, amethyst is beautiful, and that is natural. Aquamarine, beautiful, naturally occurring. A-grade rose quartz.
Oof. Stunting.
Absolutely beautiful. This isn't man-made. I mean, it's carved by a man, obviously. But comes out
just as a giant bowl shape. Beautiful. Well, shall we go on to our next one?
Yeah.
All right. Ooh, this is... Okay, out of all of the questions, this one's my favorite.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am.
Okay. Is it normal for my crystal to have cracks, lines, or discoloration in it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, 100% yes.
Next question. do you want to take this one?
You got it.
At the end of the day, crystals came out of the earth. The end. They're natural. They're going to have imperfections. Again, things that are completely perfect are probably man-made.
Or man-influenced.
So the example that I'll use is, so clear quartz, beautiful clear quartz has inclusions. And inclusions are like other minerals and things that have grown into it. Maybe it has like gray flecks or red flecks. Internal cracking, black flecks, golden flecks, whatever. That's just things that have naturally grown in the process of the quartz growing in the earth. Totally fine. Does not inhibit the power of your crystal. If anything, like certain inclusions enhance certain things. So ametrine is a nice example. Ametrine is when citrine has grown into amethyst. So you have the double whammy of both citrine and amethyst.
Hematoid quartz.
Tourmalated quartz.
Yeah, tourmalated quartz. All of these are great examples of inclusions that enhance. However, we get this a lot in people saying, you know,
my crystal isn't perfect. It's got a crack in it. I want a new one, which is fine. If you don't vibe with it, then absolutely, like, swap it. That's not the issue. But at the end of the day, it comes out of the earth. It's natural.
It will not be perfect.
It won't be perfect.
Honestly, there's sometimes where I know me personally, I'll find a crystal that has that, like, one... weird thing in it, and I'm like, oh, you're special.
Yeah,
like,
right.
There's something about you that's just different.
Like, I'm not gonna find another piece in a random crystal store that looks like this piece,
exactly,
because it's got some like warped thing growing out of it.
Yep.
Or a slight
different color,
or a crack that looks like, I don't know, a lady's staring at you.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
All right.
Lucky hit me.
I think there's one more.
Oh, is okay. there? Oh, never mind. Second to last. oh no, I dropped my crystal and it broke. Am I cursed?
No, you're not cursed. We often say in the crystal world that once a crystal has broke,
or if you've lost it,
it's done its job for you. So, for example, if you know a hematite ring breaks, that's you were carrying a lot of stress. Maybe it, you know, you let go of a little bit of it. Mm. If you happen to lose a piece of amethyst, maybe a step in your, you know, on your way to your dream manifestation, maybe a step in your manifestation has done it, right? Yeah. You might not know it, you might not feel it, but something has changed that has led to that crystal being like, I'm done here. All my work is done.
At the end of the day, if you still feel good about it when it's got a crack in it, like if you still feel like it has something, it still has a purpose for you, then absolutely keep it. Otherwise, you know, it's time to return it back to the earth. That's what we typically recommend.
Yeah, burying it.
I had a customer who talked about just pelting a crystal into the river that she lived close to.
Oh, that's cool.
And I was like, okay, that's...
Might get like tumbled in the water. That'd be kind of neat.
Yeah.
Like, for example, when Jess was saying, like, if you still feel the energy, like, I had a beautiful apatite palm stone. And one time I was meditating with it and it slipped out of my hand and just like the tiniest little bit chipped off of it. And I was like, oh no, my beautiful apatite. And I, you know, I held onto it and I definitely still felt that there was a vibe there. Mm. Like, it's still a connection. And I was like, no, you're good. You're good, boo. I'll just flip you over. So no,
I'm actually wearing a fluorite ring right now. And when I bought it was a full crescent moon. Unfortunately, the tip has cracked off because it's fluorite, and fluorite is incredibly fragile. However, I still vibe with it hardcore, so it's still staying on my hand until it really fully breaks. And then I will get a new one. Yeah. Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. Bury it. Maybe you'll pass it in the river.
Maybe. I'll give it to Asia. She can
smash it.
Shout out to Asia.
All right. Last one. Where do you get your crystals?
I mean, I feel like I work at Crystal and Stone, so really I'm typically only getting my crystals from here. however, prior to Crystal and Stone, there's a couple of places in the Frio markets that I would always get my crystals from. Even like some of the more local markets up north, like the Malaga markets or the Wanneroo markets, I would sometimes get pieces from. Otherwise, crystal jewelers. So Ishq Jewels, who made like the necklaces that I'm currently wearing, or Botanical H2O, who made the ring. At the moment, it's really only Crystal and Stone and then Ishq or Botanical H2O. In saying that, there are a few workshop hosts that we have at Crystal and Stone who do occasionally sell or offload some of their crystal collections. And sometimes if there's a piece that sparks my interest, I might buy it. But I feel like I'd be fired if I said that.
No, we all get our crystals from different places. Mm. Personally, I get my crystals here. And Crystal and Stone, we as a business, we get our crystals from all around the world.
Mm.
But the thing about getting them is that you have to develop a relationship with different, miners from all around the world.
Mm.
And
make sure you're doing right by them, right by you.
But at the end of the day, you have to look at what is, you know, ethical, like who is providing a good quality crystal from an ethical place. And also, if you have a good relationship with them, right? You know that they're treating their staff well. And certain crystals are only found in certain parts of the world. So you need to have that relationship. That's why there are certain crystals that we don't sell here, because we don't have a relationship with some of those areas.
Did you want to cover the topic of ethical crystal stores?
I guess we can talk about that.
Only because we don't have written anywhere that we are 100% ethical crystal store. And I feel like we might. That might come up in the comments.
The reason that we don't say that is just because we don't 100% know 100% of the time. And for a company to say that they know 100% is just unrealistic.
Because we know our wholesalers from who, you know, our China wholesaler, our India wholesaler, we know them personally, et cetera, et cetera. But then there are wholesalers in, so we're based in Perth, for those who don't know, Perth, Western Australia, hence why we're not wearing masks. Thanks, State Daddy. So in Perth, we have a couple of local wholesalers. And, you know, while they say that they find things and source things ethically, at the end of the day, we don't know where they're getting their things from. And unfortunately, it comes down to a point of, you know, supply and demand.
Yeah. And, yeah, at the end of the day, a crystal shop that is saying that they are 100% ethical, unless you are getting, and also a measure of what is ethical, because like there are different, in different countries where you're getting these supplies, like our supplies from, there are certain like workplace OH&S that's different than here. And so like, you know, are you monitoring that and how are you monitoring that? So, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, every
we do our best
and every crystal shop does their best.
Does their best.
Just be very cautious of that when you're buying. If is, you know, if you wanted 100% ethical, 100%, you know, that, then it's, you know, it's a little far-fetched. Yeah. Everyone will do their best, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Now, before we move on, do you have any tips for beginners? So, you're coming into your crystal shop. We'll visualize
set
it.
Set the scene.
Yeah, set the scene. You're coming into a crystal shop.
It's beautiful. I see Dylan. Oh, my God. Is that Dylan McIntyre from the Crystal and Stone Instagram? Oh, my God.
Hey, thank you for boosting my ego. You come into a crystal shop. What are you looking for? How are you going to shop? What would you recommend to an absolute beginner?
I know it sounds hard, and I know it sounds like, what the F is she talking about? I don't know what my intuition is, blah, blah, blah. Just trust your gut. Trust your intuition. If you need a little exercise in trusting your intuition, Courtney from Seeking Wilder, I know, shout out again. She does this really wonderful exercise at the beginning of her tarot workshops where she talks about like your body's yes and your body's no. So you sit with yourself, you close your eyes, you center yourself, and you start asking yourself questions that you know the answers to. So, you know, for instance, is my name Jess? Yes, it is. Am I 24? Yes, it is. And feel what that feels like, and then ask questions that you know are wrong. So, you know, am I a Gemini? No, I'm not. I'm an Aries. Do I have two brothers? No, I only have one. So feel what that feels like, and then take that knowledge into literally everything that you do, whether it's crystal shopping, whether it's clothes shopping, whether it's making new friends, et cetera, et cetera. Work with your internal yes and no, because that's your intuition and that's the muscle that you're growing. So, yeah, walking around a crystal store, picking up a piece. Is this piece for me? Yes or no? Yeah.
That's a really great way. I've never thought about doing it like that. For me, like I said earlier, I like to do the blind test. The other thing, though, is before I even get to the blind test, I really like to just walk around. Get a lay of the land. And once I've walked around maybe once or twice, gone through a few tables or whatever, I like to just let my eyes guide me. And do almost like that trusting the gut of being like, ooh, this one's pretty. And I don't like to look at the meanings.
I would avoid looking at the meanings. You get really caught up in that and you're like, oh, but, well, I really like
this,
but
I really need
this. But I'm not looking for a crystal for strength or confidence. I'm looking for a crystal for this. Well, maybe the universe is telling you that this is what you need at this time.
Preach.
Yeah.
Exactly that, Jess. I will look at a stone first, and then once I found it, once I'm like, oh yeah, this is the one for me, I really like this, maybe I'll give that body yes and no try next time. But once I find that stone, then I look at the meaning, and oftentimes it breeds me to filth. Nine times out of ten I am like, ooh, I am feeling stressed and might need to let go
of
something.
It's my favorite
thing
when a customer comes up and they're like, I picked this, what is it for? And I'm like, oh, it's for like healing and trauma. And then they're like, oh.
Like someone picks up like, you know, one for letting go of grudges, and they're like, oop. And oop. yeah, it's nine times out of ten, it's the stone that's for you.
Yeah. Yeah, you can go into a crystal shop having like such a keen idea, you know, what it is that you want, what it is that you need. And then, yeah, you come across a bowl and you're like, well, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, never hesitate to ask a crystal shop worker. The chances are they'd love to help you. They'd love to help you find your perfect crystal. So whether it's with us or with someone else, I'm sure that they'd love to help you. Mm. So always ask for help.
Yeah. Do you have any particular crystals that you would specifically recommend for a beginner to start off with?
I think, well, obviously, clear quartz is a great one to start with because it's good for anything. The other one I'd recommend is selenite. Because when we talked about earlier, to cleanse.
Yeah.
Cleanse and recharge your crystals. So having selenite is always a really good one. Another one I'd recommend is amethyst. Amethyst is really good for dreaming and manifestation. So really whatever you're going to try and manifest into your life, you're going to want some amethyst with that.
Mm.
And finally, I really like rose quartz. Clearly. rose quartz is a love stone. But it's not always associated with, like, romantic love. It can be family love, friendship love, most importantly, self-love. Yeah. And that's how I use it. I use rose quartz in a way that allows me to guide my decision-making and my actions with love and kindness.
Mm.
Cheesy, but yes, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to go onto our website and search out our new starter kit, you'll find clear quartz, amethyst, rose quartz, obsidian, selenite, and fluorite.
Ah, yes, and fluorite. Yes. Fluorite's a really good one.
Fluorite's my favorite.
Focus, positivity. Yeah, it's a really good
Currently
one.
Wearing three pieces of it.
Well, before we close out our episode today, we would like to start with something called the Manifestation Minute. So where we talk about what we are currently manifesting, and by manifesting, what we are trying to bring into our life. So
our intentions and our goals.
Our intentions / goals. Mm-hmm. So Jess, would you like to start us off? What are you currently manifesting?
Okay. I'm going to talk about something selfish that I'm manifesting, and then something that's like, that I feel like isn't so selfish. So I'll do two.
Okay.
So the thing that I feel like is not selfish to manifest is I'm manifesting a more positive outlook on my work ethic. And what I mean by that is hardcore perfectionist, really not into letting go of control. So I'm manifesting on working on that so that that can free up some time for me.
That's good.
And then the selfish thing that I'm manifesting is the Tesla fleet.
Yeah, we would love a fleet of Teslas. If Elon, if you're listening, we would love some Teslas. damn, you stole mine.
We contemplated calling this the Musk Minute to just manifest Teslas.
Yeah.
And also to hang out with Grimes.
Yeah, just... So Grimes, if you're listening, I love you.
Grimes is a hardcore Christmas tune fan.
Yeah. you never know, right?
This is true. You never know. Well, you did get a shout out from her on your Discord.
That was amazing. Yes. Yes. So, okay. My turn? Oh, no.
My
turn.
No, my selfish was Tesla fleets and my non-selfish was working on my control.
Yeah. Okay. all right. Well, then I will hit you up with two as well. Okay. I have been manifesting a little bit of self-care. So a lot of the stones that I've been working with lately I've noticed that I've been drawn to are stones that are like being gentle with yourself, being kind with yourself, positive self-talk, things like that. So I've
Any
been
specific crystals you want to shout out?
I've been using a lot of rose calcite lately. Ooh, which is a stone like that is a self-love stone that is for people who generally give and give and give.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time to kind of take care of themselves.
Maybe I need some calcite. I feel like you just read me for filth.
I'm manifesting a little bit of kind of self-love that mm-hmm. way. I notice that I often will, I'm a little bit of a workaholic as well. Mm-hmm. And I want to take some time to just
regroup.
Mm. The other thing that I am selfishly manifesting is I would love for my pool to be done. So electrician, if you are if you're listening as well, give me a ring back. All of my home renos, I'd really love to go smoothly.
yes, considering how your home renos started.
Yes,
yeah.
they've been It's been a journey. Landscaper, if you're also listening, give me a call back.
Sorry, I had one more, like, well, not one more, technically two more selfish things that I'm manifesting. A, that this podcast is successful.
Yes.
Because
give us a listen.
A lot of, like, work went into setting this up. I realize it doesn't seem like it, and we are a little bit, like, messy, but a lot of work did go into this. I'm also manifesting fan art. I would love...
Make us fan art.
I mean, like,
please make us
call me self-absorbed. That's fine. I'm an Aries, Aries, Leo. Like, it is what it is.
Get some blue calcite for creativity and just, like, get into it.
I would love some fan art that I could just, like, splatter.
Fill this with fan art.
Fill this. And also,
hashtag fill this with fan art.
Put on my fridge, you know, what have you. Yes, so I'm also manifesting fan art.
Beautiful. I love that, actually.
As self-absorbed as that sounds.
All right, well... I guess we'll close off for our podcast,
very first podcast episode.
If you are watching this on YouTube or wherever you're watching it, make sure you leave a comment below. I'd love to hear any beginner questions that you have or any questions that you have for us.
Any topics you might want us to cover in the future?
Yeah, for sure.
We have a wide range of things that we would love to talk about, not even just crystal related. So
hit us up.
Hit us up in the comments below. Crystals and crime.
Ooh.
Crystal and
ASMR with crystals.
Crystal and Foley artistry.
Yes, I'd love that. Anyway, let us know in the comments below, as well as make sure to subscribe, follow, like, the whole shebang.
Give us a 5-star review if you think we're worth 5 stars. If you don't, please don't give us a review.
All right, and I think with that, we're gonna say goodbye. So thank you everyone for coming. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Crystal and Stone podcast.
Make sure to follow, like, or subscribe for all your crystal needs.
Next time, we'll be talking about crystals and...
You'll have to tune in to find out.